KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:05, we have here at the KJN studios the mostly cloudy skies, and your temperature here this morning is at 35 degrees. We look for cloudy skies today with light rain developing in the morning, mixing with some snow later in the day. East winds at 15 to 25 miles per hour and a high of around 36. Here in the Cass County area, potential for around 1 inch of snowfall. More snow expected further to the east, and there are a few area counties that are included in a winter weather advisory that will go into effect at 9 a.m. this morning. That includes Carroll, Guthrie, and Adair counties. A winter weather advisory from 9 a.m. today until 6 a.m. on Sunday. They're expecting around 2 inches of potential snowfall with around a tenth of an inch of ice accumulation there as well throughout that region. Up to 9 inches of snow expected over in eastern Iowa. Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in state and local news here on KJAN. The Red Oak Police Department reports the arrest early this morning of 36-year-old Michael Eugene Squires of Red Oak on a charge of serious assault. Squires was arrested at 12:52 a.m. at 419 East Reed Street in Red Oak. He was booked into the Montgomery County Jail on $1,000 bond. The Audubon County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest on drug charges of 23-year-old Maxim Chechu of Audubon. He was arrested January 17th on two counts of possession of drug paraphernalia and possession of a controlled substance, marijuana. Chechu was released after appearing before the magistrate. Those charges stem from a traffic stop on Highway 71. Sheriff Todd Johnson reports also that 28-year-old Christopher Evans of Audubon was arrested January 22nd on two counts of possession of a controlled substance and possession of drug paraphernalia. He appeared before the magistrate and was released on his own recognizance. The charges stem from a traffic stop on Highway 71 near 120th Street. On January 27th, 35-year-old Sean Schmidt of Audubon was arrested on two counts of driving while suspended, three counts of carrying weapons, knives, providing false information to law enforcement, three counts of possession of drug paraphernalia, possession of marijuana first, and possession of methamphetamine with intent to distribute. Schmidt was being held in the Audubon County Jail on a total bond of $113,300. Those charges stem from a traffic stop in the area of Highway 44 and Pheasant Avenue. Also arrested January 27th was 34-year-old Nina Bruins of Audubon. She was wanted on an outstanding warrant for failure to appear for driving while barred. Bruins was a passenger in Schmidt's vehicle and also had been charged with two counts of possession of drug paraphernalia, possession of methamphetamine with intent to distribute, and possession of a controlled substance, methamphetamine third or subsequent offense. She was being held on a total bond of $112,600. And 48-year-old Christopher Green of Exira was arrested January 27th for driving while barred. He appeared before the magistrate and was being held on $2,000 cash-only bond. In an update to a previous report, firefighters from Erling were called a little after 6 a.m. Thursday to the 500 block of Main Street in Erling for a reported structure fire. Authorities say it was the first engine. As the first engine arrived on scene, they declared a working fire. At that time, Westphalia Fire was paged to provide mutual aid. Firefighters with Erling began an offensive attack on the fire located on the first floor of the residence. Fire departments from Panama and Defiance were also called to assist with manpower and to haul water to the scene. Officials say the fire entered the walls of the residence and worked its way up to the second floor attic and finally through the roof. At that point, firefighters' means of attacking the flames was moved to defensive positions outside. With the help of Harlan Fire and their ladder truck, the fire was contained to the residence only. All the occupants made it out of the house safely prior to firefighters' arrival, and there were no injuries. The house is believed, though, to be a total loss. The Mills County Sheriff's Office reports two men and a woman were arrested on numerous charges Thursday evening following a pursuit of a Nebraska-plated vehicle during a traffic stop in the 29,000 block of Highway 34. The incident began at 6:30 p.m. when a Mills County deputy attempted the traffic stop and the vehicle attempted to flee in excess of 100 miles per hour at times. The vehicle eventually became stuck on a minimum maintenance road, and two of the three suspects inside the vehicle took off on foot, while the third was arrested at the vehicle. The Fremont County canine Dankin arrived on scene and began tracking the other two suspects. After a brief track, Dankin and his partner located a female suspect, 24-year-old Jessica Hale, who was identified as the driver of the vehicle. She was hiding in a brush pile. Canine Dankin also, along with his handler and three backup deputies then began tracking the second suspect and tracked him for nearly 2 miles in below freezing temperatures. The Montgomery County EMA was able to use a drone to watch the suspect run into a nearby farm building where perimeter deputies were able to take the suspect into custody. A suspect vehicle had illegal narcotics inside and was confirmed stolen from Omaha. The suspects, Hale, 37-year-old Richard McIntyre, and 35-year-old Brandon Woodruff, all of Omaha, were booked into the Mills County Jail on multiple felony charges. In addition, Hale and Woodruff had outstanding warrants out of Douglas County, Nebraska. The Mills County Sheriff's Office was assisted by multiple agencies there during that arrest. A bill advancing in the Iowa Senate would eliminate the state's inheritance tax, a move that's being backed by the Iowa Cattlemen's Association. Cora Fox, the association's government relations director, says the inheritance tax has long been a burden for many Iowans, particularly for farmers and ranchers.
Something that's very top of mind is being able to pass along your livestock operation to the next generation. Here in Iowa, the family farm really is the backbone of agriculture. And so anything that we can do to help support reducing a burden on the next generation is incredibly valuable to our members.
And she said that the Fox says her group is encouraged by the bill's progress in the Senate.
We do have very strong support from leaders in the legislature, and we're always grateful for them stepping up and representing the interests of Iowa's producers. This is something that the Iowa cattlemen have weighed in on in the past, especially at the federal level, you know, when you start talking about estate taxes.
In addition to impacting farmers and ranchers, Fox says that Iowans not involved with agriculture are also adversely affected by the tax.
This, I believe, references property. For us in the cattle industry, we also often grow our feed, so you have to have a significant land base. And obviously this would impact your crop growers here in the state too, so it's definitely an important issue.
And the bill unanimously passed a subcommittee and will advance to the full Senate Ways and Means Committee. Chairman Dan Dawson, a Republican from Council Bluffs, says he expects elimination of the inheritance tax to be incorporated into a larger tax policy bill that will be taken up later this session. Governor Kim Reynolds has signed into law a requirement that Iowa's K-12 schools hold all classes in person by February the 15th.
We now have the benefit of months of evidence that shows schools are the safest place for our kids to be. Transmission among our students is low and spread isn't occurring due to contact in schools.
15 public school districts and a private school are currently offering classes virtually or a hybrid model with students in classrooms every other day.
Iowa was one of the few states that reopened its schools in the fall, and the vast majority of our school districts welcomed their students back for a full-time in-person learning in August. I commend those school districts from their leadership and board members to their teachers and staff for doing what was necessary to bring kids back to the classroom and allow the families that they serve to choose what's best for their children. Unfortunately, that option hasn't been available for every family.
Earlier this month, Reynolds called on legislators to pass a bill requiring full-time in-person instruction in Iowa schools, and Republican lawmakers approved the bill on Thursday. The governor signed it on Friday.
I'm pleased to take another important step forward in our COVID recovery by ensuring that every child and family in Iowa has the opportunity to attend school 100% in person, if that's their choice.
Schools may continue to offer online classes to students, but it's not required. Holding classes in person on each school day is. Democrats who voted against the bill say forcing face-to-face instruction for all students will be difficult for large schools without space for social distancing. Reynolds says the state has face shields, hand sanitizer, and other pandemic essentials on hand ready to ship to school administrators who ask for supplies.
National research and outcomes in some of our schools show that keeping our kids out of the classroom has a profoundly negative effect on student achievement, resulting in learning loss in math and reading. And it's impacting students of color and those who attend high poverty schools the most. It's time to put local control into the hands of parents where it belongs, so that they can choose what's best for their children.
Reynolds made those remarks at the State House Rotunda late Friday morning, then signed the bill into law in front of a small crowd of supporters. And Governor Reynolds on Friday announced appointments to Iowa's boards and commissions. The following Western and Southwest Iowa appointees are subject to Senate confirmation: to the Alcoholic Beverages Commission and John Pauley of Carroll, the Environmental Protection Commission, Lisa Gokenauer of Logan, Flood Mitigation Board, John Erickson of Council Bluffs, the Iowa Autism Council, Cheryl Mulligan of Shenandoah, State Board of Educational Examiners, Aaron Schoening of Underwood, and Title Guarantee Division Board, Judy Hilgenberg of Guthrie Center. And also in news, the Mills County Sheriff's Office reports five recent arrests. Thursday, 55-year-old Claude Marvin Menard of Rogers, Arkansas, was arrested in the Mills County Jail for being a fugitive from justice. He remains held without bond. And 33-year-old Terry Eugene Lunsford, Jr. of Council Bluffs, was arrested for possession of a controlled substance and eluding. Bond was $26,000. Wednesday night, 52-year-old Shannon Jean Cooper of St. Joseph, Missouri, was arrested on I-29 in Mills County for driving while revoked. Bond was $1,000. And Wednesday afternoon, 32-year-old Jessica Lynn Pedrin of Audubon was arrested in Webster County on a Mills County warrant for possession of a controlled substance and prostitution stemming from an incident in December. Her bond was set at $12,000. And on Sunday, 40-year-old Daniel Lee Walling II of Omaha was arrested in Mills County on a warrant for violation of probation with bond set at $5,000. That's a look at some of the latest in news. Now let's take a look here at your funeral announcements this morning. Barbara Jean Duval, age 96, of Audubon, died on January 23rd at home. Funeral services for Barbara Jean Duval will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. Karen Radcliffe Molgaard, age 79, of Atlantic, died January 20th at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Funeral services for Karen Radcliffe Molgaard will be held on Saturday, here today, at 11 a.m. at Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Thomas Tom Harris, age 61, of Anita, died Sunday at Caring Acres Nursing Home in Anita. Funeral services for Tom Harris will be held today at 11 a.m. at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home Anita has arrangements. Lorraine S. Kors, age 88, of Garner, formerly of Atlantic, died January 18th at Prairie View Apartments in Garner. Graveside services for Lorraine Kors will be held Monday at 10 a.m. at the Atlantic Cemetery. The Cataldo Funeral Home in Garner has arrangements. Shirley R. Griffin, age 76, of Exira, died Monday at the Taylor House in Des Moines. Funeral services for Shirley Griffin will be held Monday at 2 p.m. at the Kessler Funeral Home in Exira. Jim Kahn, age 80, of Lewis, died Friday at the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Arrangements for Jim Kahn are pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Betty Travis, age 90, of Exira, formerly of Lewis, died Friday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Betty Travis are pending at Roland Funeral Service in Atlantic. That's a look at your news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.